Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled Vision Renewal, The Way Forward. So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
With confidence in God's love and mercy, let us pray a prayer of confession. Gracious God, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have promised the power of your Holy Spirit to be with us in all times and places. But we confess that we have chosen to seek your presence only when we are desperate. You have promised your love and kindness, but we have chosen to turn to you only when we find no comfort elsewhere. You have promised us the strength and power of your name, but we have chosen to call on you only when our resources have failed us. Forgive us, Lord, and empower us to live in the guidance, love, and power of your Holy Spirit. These and all things we pray together and in the silence of our hearts through Jesus Christ, our risen and reigning Lord. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Now, would you please join me in affirming our faith through these words that were written in 1983? Oh, and stand. In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in the one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve. We trust in God, the Holy Spirit, everywhere the giver and renewer of life. The Spirit justifies us by grace through faith, sets us free to love God and neighbor, and binds us together with all believers in the one body of Christ, the church. The same Spirit who inspired the prophets and apostles rules our faith and life in Christ through Scripture, engages us through the word proclaimed, claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and calls women and men to all ministries of the church. In a broken and fearful world, the Spirit gives us courage to pray without ceasing, to witness among all peoples to Christ as Lord and Savior, to unmask idolatries in church and culture, to hear the voices of peoples long silenced, and to work with others for justice, freedom, and peace. In gratitude to God, empowered by the Spirit, we strive to serve Christ in our daily tasks and to live holy and joyful lives, even as we watch for God's new heaven and new earth, praying, "Come, Lord Jesus." With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture lesson today comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, beginning in chapter 3, the 12th verse. Paul writes, "Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us, then, who are mature be of the same mind. And if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jack, thank you. For those of you who don't know yet, Jack Booker is our summer intern. Jack's going to enter his senior year at Wheaton College, studying Bible and theology, and going to be spending these next couple of weeks with us. And so, Jack, thanks for your leadership this morning. Might also mention today's Jack's birthday. Thanks for spending it with us. Our second text comes from Revelation chapter 21. Right near the end of the book of Revelation, we hear these words. John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I am making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life.'" Amen. That great vision. And let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, past, present, future. We would pray now, as we sit beneath this teaching and reflection on your word, that the words of my mouth and the reflections of our hearts might bring honor and glory to you. We pray it in Christ our Lord. Amen. During these past several weeks, we've been looking together at our vision renewal report, and as much as I have enjoyed this reflection with you, it's time for us now to start looking ahead. Recall the vision renewal statement, which was crafted in 2016, was in response to a question I was asked by one of our new members. Do we still believe what we said in the 1966 community report, that report which led to our staying here at this corner of 34th and Central? It was a good question, and we took a full year to discuss and consider before answering it. You may recall me telling you at one point, I keep a copy of that 1966 report with me in my day planner all the time. I find it instructional, I find it inspiring. Written over 40 years after our relocation to this neighborhood, much had changed. And so I quote from the report, "During this time, the mode of conveyance has changed completely. The congregation has spread into new suburbs. The average age of the congregation has increased. The membership, attendance, and activity participation has declined from a peak level. The neighborhood has undergone a major change in which, at the very least, it has lost its preference rating and, at most, has experienced deterioration and threat from vandalism in some adjacent areas," end quote. Recall, that was written in 1965, 1966. In those same years, the neighborhood around us was rife with racial tensions as our nation was addressing the struggles over integration and civil rights. People and businesses and churches had all pulled out, pulled up stakes, moved north, and we were faced with a decision: stay or go. And after much careful, prayerful deliberation, the committee made the following recommendation. Again, I quote, "The Metropolitan Community Program Committee recommends that Tabernacle remain in location, both for now and the foreseeable future, and put all of our energies into the development of a Protestant church rendering significant service to the entire metropolitan area. Now, staying was not the easy decision, but that decision has shaped and influenced nearly every other decision we have made since. One of the recommendations the committee made at the time, and again I quote, that Tabernacle can best serve Christ by developing mission from and around its present location, which mission contemplates a church with a true metropolitan scope, serving the needs of the community, both immediate and distant, and furnishing meaningful religious experience to a congregation spread throughout the city, employing the wealth of talents which thus has been and will be available. This must be accomplished by the development of a true sense of mission and not by the emphasis on program devices. I think that that is one of the great takeaways from that study. That not only would TAB stay right here in this location, but that our mission and our ministry, our sense of purpose, would shape and influence our program. What we do would be driven by why we do it. As a church, we were being called to act out of a sense of God's calling and purpose, not our own comfort and security. And here we are still. It was that vision and commitment that brought us to where we are today. So the question now posed to us is, what's next? What is the way forward? I don't know about you, but I always find that I have more clarity about the past than I do about the future. 2020 hindsight, if you will. And I believe that there is a lot of good benefit to looking back to see where we've been and all that we have done, the good, the bad, and the indifferent, to get us where we are, using then the past as a template to guide us into the future. A couple of weeks from now, we'll be looking at the story of Moses. Recall, at the end of the 40-year journey, just before the people pass into the promised land, Moses gets everyone together and retells them the story of how they got there, reminding them of the ways that God had delivered and provided and protected and guided them, both as an encouragement to them in their faith, but also as something of a warning, a cautionary tale to them as they enter into the new future. So today, appropriately, on this Memorial Day, as we look back, remember, and give thanks, and on this day of Pentecost, as we consider the new things God continues to do, we are being called to trust, to believe, to follow where He continues to lead us into the future. The commitments made back in 1966 laid a foundation for the commitments which we reaffirmed in 2016. Greater faith, deeper relationships, a stronger community. And I believe that these will continue to pave the way for us as we move into the future. Greater faith, this desire we have for a greater trust, a greater confidence in God, particularly in our times of uncertainty and change. Confidence that God is still with us to lead and to bless as we pray for an increased willingness to listen and to follow where He leads us. Deeper relationships. Knowing that God has created us to be in right relationship with Himself and with others within and beyond these walls, we pray that we will be a people, that we will be a place that will help to create and nurture and deepen our bonds of friendship and faith. A stronger community. We believe that God has called us and kept us here in this place for kingdom working purposes, for the welfare and well-being of this community, and we believe He continues to call and keep us still. So these points, three as they are, aren't three simply different points, but they share a common vision. Not just looking to the past, not just looking at what we're doing in the present, but I believe laying paving stones for how we will continue to walk into the future. I firmly believe that the 1966 report, which led us for 50 years, now the 2016 report has the ability, the capability to continue to lead us 50 years and more into the future. Will there be changes and challenges? Of course there will be. The future will be markedly different than the way things are now, just as different now as the way things once were. But these principles will help, I believe, keep us focused on the work we've been called to do and the direction we are headed. Near the end of that vision renewal statement, we read, "Tab's legacy of service to the community is strong and respected." But we know legacies are good to build on, but they're not so good to lean on. So this vision calls Tab not to bask in that legacy, but rather to expand it, to build on it, to leverage it, so that we can partner in efforts to develop ourselves and our neighbors and our community. At the time of the writing, again 2016, we laid out 12 different emphases of our ministry. Opportunities for expansion of mission and impact, children and youth, collaboration and partnership in our community, diversity in membership, facilities improvement, food insecurity, seeking God's shalom, advocacy to address the macro problems which face our community, inviting neighbors to be members, greater engagement with our rec program, the development of small groups, times of sharing of meals, combined intergenerational services of worship. Each of these worthy of our continued emphasis and exploration and commitment. But I appreciate when the committee wrote its report, they offered these to us as being prescriptive, not restrictive. Some we're already addressing, others are yet to be, and I believe there are still others not even on the list yet, opportunities for mission and ministry which will present themselves to us in the years still to come. In my closing weeks, I will share with you what I believe to be so unique, wonderfully unique about TAB. What our strengths are, our greatest assets are, our opportunities. I mentioned in my letter that I postponed announcing my retirement by at least a year because I wanted to try and do my part in leading us beyond the pandemic. I recently read a quote by a professor from UC Berkeley who quoted Tolkien in a very creative way. Quote, "I wish it need not have happened in my time," says Frodo. "So do I," says Gandalf. "And so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us." Isn't that beautiful? I wouldn't have chosen a pandemic, nor would you. But now what do we do with the time and the opportunity that's being given to us? That's the great challenge. That's the great opportunity of our faith, isn't it? So in that vein and with that attitude, as I look to TAB's future, I would emphasize first our ever-deepening commitment to greater faith, a continual reminder to ourselves, to those who are called into positions of leadership, and to one another, to trust in the gracious guidance and provision of God of particular import in our times of change and uncertainty. Second, regarding our vision for deeper relationships, I would emphasize both an internal commitment to deepening our connection with one another within the TAB family and with one another and beyond then to those, our neighbors, outside of our TAB family. I believe that people join organizations, including churches, because of their mission, their impact, perhaps their location, perhaps the persona of their leadership, but they remain a part of an organization, including a church, because of the meaningful relationships they form within it. Those bonds of friendship need continually to be strengthened and deepened even as they're expanded. And finally, we need to continue to seek new ways to envision and develop a stronger community. Our commitment to this neighborhood is well established and well practiced. And now I believe we are in a position to expand our impact and influence through forms of advocacy. We can name the needs of our neighbors, and we do our part in helping to address them. Issues of hunger or homelessness or unemployment or failing schools, a prevailing sense of hopelessness, and the list goes on and on. But there is still more, I believe, that we can do to deal not just with the symptoms, but with the causes of these societal, systemic diseases. I know we're all familiar with the saying, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach him how to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. But there's more that we can do to support that man, that woman, that child, to one day own the pond in which they fish, so that they no longer need to turn to us or to others to help feed them or house their families or educate or protect their children. I believe that we're in a position to exercise some of these muscles that we have of strength and influence and advocacy on behalf of our neighbors. These are not three separate visions, again, but expressions of one and the same, consistent with the kingdom work we've been doing for generations and of the vision we have been given of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. As Elizabeth O'Connor writes, visions from God are integrally connected with justice for the poor, the sick, the oppressed, the lonely and rejected. They are concerned with love and beauty and laughter. They move us out to do something in a unifying work. It was that same Elizabeth O'Connor who also said, "On the ship called the church, there are no passengers. All are members of the crew." And with a vision this large, all hands on deck. At the end of the report, we read, the Vision Renewal Team hopes this document serves as a challenge to TAB and its people, a challenge to constantly grow, a challenge to constantly push to achieve more for the kingdom of God, a challenge to reach beyond complacency and comfort, and to venture into new territories and new experiences in the pursuit of the new era of impact. They write, this could be messy. There will be risk. The call is to wade into the mess, to faithfully take on the risk, urged forward by the knowledge that doing so will allow us to partner with Christ for the redemption of the world. I close with a vision that was cast by theologian Hans Küng. When asked about the church of the future, in response to the question, to what kind of church does the future belong? He writes, not to a church that is lazy, shallow, indifferent, timid, and weak in faith. Not to a church that expects blind obedience and fanatical party loyalty. Not to a church that is a slave to its own history, always putting on the brakes, suspiciously defensive, and yet in the end forced into agreement. Not to a church that is blind to problems, suspicious of empirical knowledge, yet claiming competent authority for everyone and everything. Not to a church that is quarrelsome, impatient, and unfair in dialogue. Not to a church that is closed to the real world. In short, the future does not belong to a church that is dishonest. No, the future belongs to a church that knows what it does not know, to a church that relies on God's grace and wisdom and has in its weakness and ignorance a radical confidence in God, to a church that is strong in faith, joyous and certain, yet self-critical, to a church filled with intellectual desire, spontaneity and animation and fruitfulness, to a church that has the courage of initiative and the courage to take risks, to a church that is altogether open to the world. In short, the future belongs to a thoroughly truthful church. May we have the faith and the courage to be that kind of church, past, present, and future, to the honor and glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, what an adventure you have called us to. All you say is, come follow me. And then you lead us into the most remarkable places. You grant us the most impossible opportunities, and yet they are possible because of you, your call, your presence, your empowering by ministry of the Holy Spirit, then, now, and we pray into the future. May we be that people that hear that call and joyfully follow, amazed at what you do because of who you are. Lord, hear our prayer.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab Podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.
What is the kingdom of God?
Pastor John Gable of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis.
In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus offers a rather curious listing of those who enter the kingdom of God: the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and the persecuted, among others. It's an unexpected list that includes those the world often classifies as rejects and outcasts. It is this countercultural Jesus that we seek to follow at Tab, whose message runs counter to our culture of self-centeredness and self-absorption. How do we follow this Jesus at Tab? Come find out for yourself by joining us in worship or visiting us online at tabpres.org.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship Sunday morning at 8, 9, or 11. If you can't make it in person, tune in to Sunday with Tab, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on WIBC, or find us online at tabpres.org.